Carol's here too. Yes. Go have fun. I love seeing those little tots. And our nursery's busy back there as well already, and so we're just excited for what God is doing in little lives here in our church. You okay? You doing all right? You awake? You alive? You enthusiastic? Okay, let's stick to that, all right? The Bible says this. This thing we've referred to before as life to the full that Christ promised, here's how that happens. In Him, we live and move and have our being. He's the giver of life. Lord, would you now move into our hearts and our minds in some special ways as we open up your word and discover your promise once again to us? And as we consider where we're at in relationship to you, I pray that you will urge us and nudge us into a closer walk with you. I ask you, Lord, to give me the words that you'd have me to speak this morning, that I will say them in a way that truth will prevail. So, Lord, speak to every one of us, including me, as we listen to what you have to say. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We are in the series Priceless Promises. And I like the word promise, but when you attach the word priceless to it, it really becomes something special. In other words, these aren't things that we can earn. They're not pursuits that we can do on our own. They're not things we can manufacture on our own strength and our own abilities. These are promises of God that only God can do, and they're so great and so marvelous, there's no way to put a price tag on it. As I told you last week, not one of these promises can you or I afford. We're not rich enough. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough goodness to deserve them. God simply, by His grace and His mercy, calls us out of darkness into light and then makes these promises to us as we follow Him. So when we talk about these and you begin to grasp them as your own, I want you to understand how privileged we are. How privileged we are to have a God who makes promises and never breaks them. Now, promises come with conditions. Love comes unconditionally. God loves us all, every soul on the face of the earth that ever has been or is or ever will be. God loves unconditionally. And He loved so much that He gave His all to redeem us. Promises, though, have conditions attached to them. And the conditions usually look like this. Seek me, and you will find. Follow me, and I will. Acknowledge me, and I will do more than you can imagine. You see the conditions? The condition is we seek Him. We acknowledge Him. We follow Him. That's it. That's the conditions. And He said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And if you obey my commands, all these things will be added unto you. So, yeah, love is unconditional. He loves the sinner who is walking deep and far away from Him, loves him enough to call him home, call him back, redeem his soul if he'll only say yes. Actually, there is a condition for salvation. Salvation is one of His promises. I will save you from the depths of sin and despair. But there is a condition, and it's not something we work for. It's something that we receive when we say yes The condition is saying yes. I believe, and yes, I receive. So, you see, it's a free gift, but we have to respond. It's kind of like at Christmas time, if somebody buys me a gift and wants me to give me something and says, here, I have this for you, I have to do something. I have to reach out and take hold of it. Right? The person could stand there holding it in front of me forever, saying, it's yours, I want you to have it. I just want to give you this. But I have to reach out and receive it. That's the gifts of God. He just wants us to respond as He gives. So, today we're on part four. Part one was the promise of eternal life in glory with Him. The second promise was that not only does He save us from hell and give us eternal life in glory as we trust in Him, but He also says, you will now be called My children. You are offered the gift of being an heir with Christ. And we discovered what that meant. Part three last week was the promise that nothing will be held against us. No condemnation. So we go before Christ at the judgment seat, knowing that in the past we have sinned against Him, knowing that we have no right to be even in His presence, but He will look at us and say, I see no guilt. Does that amaze you? We hold on to guilt much more than God holds on to accusing. God doesn't accuse us. In Christ, He doesn't accuse us. And that's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful promise when we trust Him. Today, we're going to move on to the promise that we can be and are, in Christ, overcomers of the world. Overcomers of the world. So, unfortunately, people, even Christian people, sometimes look at the world's situation and don't see any hope at all. Crime is on the rise. The economy is in trouble. The moral standards are going down the drain. Nothing seems to be going the right way. And sometimes we even wonder whether it's worth it at all to take a stand for our Christian faith since all seems to be lost anyway. Yet, when we look into the Word of God, we get an entirely different picture. We find not a Christian faith that gives up, but one that presses on and rejoices in victory. And as we've considered these priceless promises over the last few weeks, I hope that you're noticing a trend. And the trend is this, that God wants what is ultimately good, is working for what is ultimately good for us now and eternity. And He delivers everything unto that end. God in us is victory. Don't forget that. The world is not our home. The world and all that it declares is not our standard. Ours is the victory with Christ in us. That changes everything. Let's go to our scriptures today, 1 John 5, 1 through 5. And let's just go ahead and read it together. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Goes on. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out His commands. This is love for God, to obey His commands, and His commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Let's stick there for a minute. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That is a huge promise that almost seems impossible. Guess who's the God of the almost? Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's like, this is bigger than I can grasp. I don't know how this could be possible. It's not possible outside of Jesus, who is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of our lives, the one who invades our being. Whew. That's good stuff. So what is this world that is being referred to by John here, the world, overcoming the world? Well, the world is bent toward evil. All that is bent toward evil is what he's talking about when he says this, the world. Here's what it looks like. Better fasten your seatbelts. This is rough. The world looks like selfish pursuits, damning behaviors, broken perspectives, immoral involvements, corrupt talking, warped thinking, taking advantage of others, hatefulness, idolatry, false teachings, deception, lack of justice, and disregard for God's directives. Isn't that a pretty picture? Not a pretty picture at all, is it? That's the things that he's referring to when he says the world. The world without adherence to God or anything about God. Now notice the scriptural promise here that says that God... let me start that phrase over again. Now notice the scripture promise here that God does not say that we might defeat the world. But rather, it's that every child of God defeats the world. Not might, does. Does. Fully engulfed with Christ empowers us to overcome the world. Does that mean I won't have any more troubles? What do you think? Does that mean there won't be struggles? Troubles? Difficulties? Nope, that's not what he's talking about. We live in this world that's entirely broken outside of Christ. He's saying that even in the midst of all that is difficult, greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. So there are times that we're just going to have to reach out and embrace this Jesus, embrace this good news, hold on to God, obey his commands, and press through in victory. Victories are won in here and in here. Those two places, not out here. There's a battle going on. We're going to talk about that. But the victory is within us and a part of us because Jesus is a part of us. So as we discover that the world no longer has a hold on our spirit, the world no longer has a hold on our character or on our soul, and we discover that we actually become a new creation in Christ, and that is a real thing, Now let's look at some things we need to recognize in this promise. So I'm gonna give you three things that we need to pay attention to, recognize as we claim this promise as our own because of Jesus in us. First of all, we need to acknowledge that we are in a battle. All right? Don't forget that. I said earlier, this world is not our home. Praise the Lord. Because there's a battle going on. This is not all there is, but it is what we know right now. And, you know, war is a fact of life in our midst. The U.S. has been involved in many different conflicts. Revolutionary War, the Civil War, the World Wars I and II, and Korea and Vietnam and the Gulf Wars, and believe it or not, hundreds of other scrimmages of war throughout the ages. And sometimes we've had to be that force in the world in order to protect the freedoms of people everywhere. And some of you have fought for your country in these ways, and you know war firsthand. Here's the deal with war, though. Those who are engaged in military conflicts know who their enemy is. And they have a plan. Somebody that's leading the war effort has a plan of how to defeat the enemy, who they know who it is. And then they're trained to follow that plan. And that's why we have had the victories that we've had. Because, you know, they know the enemy, they know the plan, and they work the plan. And God has been on the scene. But there is another battle waging all around us. It's in the spiritual realm. It is not a battle with flesh and blood enemies. It is a battle against the principalities of darkness. And unfortunately, some who are engaged in this spiritual warfare don't know who their real enemy is. We're calling the effects of the enemy the enemy. The effects of the enemy are not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. We struggle against a real enemy. And a lot of people don't understand that we're not fighting each other when we're having a conflict. We're not fighting a concept. We're fighting an enemy called Satan himself and his dominion. And I hope that Eve, there is this evil enemy. If you don't believe that Satan is real, then you've already lost. It reveals the fact that we are in warfare. And Satan has imposed a war against our souls. But God has a victory plan. And it's led by Jesus. And we are given tools through Christ to win this battle. Paul gives us this instruction about spiritual warfare that we need to take to heart. It's in Ephesians 6, and it simply says this: be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Okay? That's, first of all, know who has the plan. Know who has the power. Be strong in the Lord in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Don't face this battle in ignorance. Don't face it without any weapons. Don't face it without a general that can instruct you. Don't face it unawares. It's real. I know this isn't proper English, but God is realer. Huh? Yeah. And if you go on reading there in Ephesians, you'll find out, and we're going to mention it later, but we'll find out the things that we can use that are of the spiritual realm to defeat the enemy and come out victorious. There's a conflict between good and evil. You know, one time the prophet Elisha was with his servant in a certain town, a city, and they were confronted with an enemy. An army came from King Aram to destroy and kill and do away with God's purposes and plans. And this enemy surrounded the city in which Elisha and his servant were in. Now, Elisha had special vision given to him from God. And as he looked out over the land surrounding the city, he saw this enemy. But he saw more than just this enemy. With the spiritual eyes that God gave him, he looked out upon the hills surrounding the city and he saw the angels of fire surrounding them, ready to do battle. God was ready to win this battle. But the servant, he didn't have those eyes. All the servant could see was the devastating blow they were about to take from the enemy. This was going to be a massacre. And let me find my place here. And here's what the servant said. He turned to Elisha and he said, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" The young man cried to Elisha, "Don't be afraid." And Elisha cried, "Don't be afraid. For there are more on our side than are on their side." And then Elisha prayed. And he prayed this, "Oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And the Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. God was already going to be the victor. There's more on our side than there is on their side. My friends, when the enemy is attacking us and it feels fierce, I want you to know today that there's more on our side than is on the devil's side. There's more power, more force. There's assured victory. And God revealed that he was ready to do battle on their behalf, not with what was seen, but with what was unseen. Those of us who are in Christ are in a battle. Now understand this. The war has already been won. Christ did that on the cross and when he defeated the grave. The war is won, but the battle is still raging. Because the enemy has not been bound yet. Oh, he will be. He will be. But he hasn't been yet. And so we have this battle going on. And so understand, the war is won, but we're still in the midst of this. 2 Corinthians 10 says this. "We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." Our weapons are bigger than the enemy's weapons. They're stronger. They're everlasting. The weapons that are unseen are greater than that which is seen. Now, it's quite obvious that we as God's people have to engage Satan in warfare so that we will be strong in the Lord and will be able to break satanic strongholds in our lives. And our weapons are not of this world. They are not visible. They are unseen weapons. Things like this. Prayer. Powerful. Truth that will never fade away. Faith that is beyond the abilities of the enemy. Faith is the victory. Things like righteousness in the face of evil. Things like the Word of God as our sword. Those things never fail. Those things never fail. Are we picking up our spiritual weapons and saying to the enemy, no, I will not participate. I will not give you even a foothold. God is greater than you are. My weapons will sustain me, for God is the ultimate weapon against evil. I will stand on this rock, and I shall not be moved. Pick up prayer. Pick up faith. Pick up righteousness. Pick up the Word of God. Pick up truth, and stand in the enemy's face and say, I will not follow you. You see, we've got more resources than we take advantage of. Pick them up. Pick them up. Shine them in the face of the enemy until the enemy is blinded. The second thing I want to point out and have us remember about this victory that's promised is that it's an assured thing. We're in a battle, first of all. Don't forget that. But victory is an assured thing in Christ Jesus. It's not if. It's not maybe. It's not could be. It is ours to grasp. It is a promise of God that we can grasp. Just like in Elisha's situation, victory is at hand. There is no temptation that will overcome you that God will not provide a way out. Come on, let's stand up. And let's stop saying, well, I think, and I want, and I this, and I that, and my opinion is, and forget all that. Stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ and all of His truth. Because the victory is ours. Stand up. Now, if you lived in Hawaii, and some of you, have anybody been there? Oh, yeah, several of you have been there. I've never been there. They haven't built the bridge yet, so I haven't been there. But in Hawaii, there's a major time difference between the continental United States and Hawaii. And so as a result of that gap of time, the Monday night football is actually being played in the afternoon on Monday. But at least one local station, probably many of them, hold off on playing that game or showing that game until evening because it's called Monday Night Football, right? So they hold off even though it's already happened. But if you go to, if you turn to certain radio stations, you can listen to the game live in the afternoon. And when you listen to the game live in the afternoon, you can also watch it in the evening and see what you were hearing earlier. And here's the thing about that. If you do that, it changes your perspective on how you see the game. You know, for example, you might be watching it. If you listened to it earlier, now you're watching it in the evening, and your team fumbles. You kind of go, oh, that's too bad, but it's no big deal because we're going to win anyway. You aren't going to pieces, right? like, I can't believe that they sacrificed that point. I can't believe that they made that dumb play. And you kind of just shove it off like, that's too bad, but hey, we're going to win anyway. Isn't that how it ought to be with us? If you know the outcome of the game, so to speak, you don't fall apart. You shouldn't. Shouldn't fall apart. Yeah, exactly. They are. And you think, yeah, I'm in this battle, and it's hard, and I need to pay attention. And as I do, I need to remember this. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. It's already been assured that the victory is mine. So hold on. Beat up the enemy. Press on toward the goal. And know that I can have victory in my heart and in my mind right now. And I can have victory in every way when I cross that line. Jesus was explaining to his disciples that there was a very sorrowful day coming. He says, you know, you're okay right now because you have me with you, but you're not always going to have me with you. There's coming a day, and he's trying to tell them that I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be killed. And that's going to be a day where you feel like losing heart. That's going to be the worst day of your life when that happens. And in John 16, he's explaining this to them. And in 16:33, he says, but I want you to know that your grief will turn to joy. What you're feeling as a defeat will turn to joy. And here's what he said. I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. And he said, remember, in this world, here on earth, you're going to have troubles and trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have all overcome the world. I have overcome the world. That's present tense, isn't it? Not I will. Not like, but I have. And this is taking place before his crucifixion. See, God is not bound by dates and times. God is always in the here, right now. And the victory, even before the events happened, was won. It was an assured victory. I have overcome the world. It's already won. Even though we're still playing the game, it's already won. Scratch your head. Go ahead. And how does that work? I don't know. We're still playing the game, but it's already won. That's incredible. That's just a God thing. Full assurance that he's already overcome. And so if he is in us, ours is the victory. It is. Every child of God, in 1 John, every child of God defeats this evil world. And we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Remember that description of the world I gave you? Not a pretty picture, right? Who can defeat, who can win the battle against this world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Christ in us is the victory. And we can say to the world who is directed by the enemy, talk to the hand. Right? You are not the final say in my destiny. You don't have all the power of the world. Talk to the hand. How do we receive it? When we've placed our faith in Him. Remember the old song, "Faith is the Victory"? I think it comes out of this text. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And by faith in Him, His power in us, we become victors now. Third thing, and I'll try to move quickly here, but the third thing is that not only is there a battle going on, and not only is there an assured victory, but we can be overcomers in every way that we want to be. Every way that we need to be. Every way that we want to be, we can become overcomers. Now, the enemy wants to tell you differently. You know, when the Iraqi Freedom War was going on, the minister of, I forget what they called it, minister of publications or the minister of news, kept denying every victory that the U.S. and the Allied forces were accomplishing over there. He said wasn't happening. It's like the Allies went in and took over the Baghdad airport, named after some guy over there. And they changed, the first thing they did was change the name of the airport to Baghdad International Airport. And flights were coming in from the Allies. All this was going on. This was taken over. And you know what the Minister of News said? They're not here. They're not here. And the ones that we did find, we killed. And it kept, this kind of thing kept happening. It almost became comical that everything that was that they were being defeated in, he denied to get the public not to believe it. That's the voice of an enemy. The enemy says to us, you're not safe. You're not free. Just look around you at all the problems. You think God's on your side? He's not on your side. You think He's powerful? Look what I'm doing. And he goes on and on and on with deceptions and lies, trying to get us to think that all hope is lost. And my friends, the great deceiver is wrong. Because the victory has already been won. Christ is over all time and all space. He is in tomorrow before we even know there's a tomorrow. He is all in all, and He has worked His plan. And He's worked it well. But the enemy's kind of loud sometimes, isn't he? That's kind of how they become convincing. They just get loud. And the voice of the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's not loud. He's not obnoxious. He's not overbearing. But He is present. That's my God. And we are overcomers. Let me quickly run through just some scriptures that will show you that even though we are engaged in a battle, our future is already written, that victory is already won, and it's taking place, and it goes like they go like this, John 12. The time for judging this world has come, when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. It's already been declared. It's already been put into motion that he will be cast out. Colossians 2. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. And in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Did you hear that? He disarmed the false, deceptive things. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. You see, the religious leaders of that day were oppressive people. Not victory people. Oppressive people. John 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit that lives in the world. And then back to our key verse of 1 John 4, or 5. For every child of God defeats this evil world. That's a present tense again. Not will defeat, but defeats. Every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And when we truly believe and understand the victory that we have in Christ, how can I say this? When we truly believe that we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, you can't possibly become and be a pessimist. There is no place for pessimism in that. Say, aren't we being a little cocky with our confidence? Yep. Yep. But nope. Nope. But yep. In a holy way. In a righteous way. Yeah. And God's giving us that right to proclaim. If that looks cocky, so be it. But ours is. So here's the deal. We got to stop living in defeat. Defeat is not in God's vocabulary. We have to be the overcomers by Christ fully engulfing our very life. We have the power to overcome the world. Let me remind us what that was. Selfish pursuits. We have the power to avoid selfish pursuits. I'm talking about ungodly stuff. Not having fun. I'm not talking about just having some fun. There's holy fun. There's righteous fun. I'm talking about despicable things that are selfish in our motives, in our hearts. We have the power to overcome those. That's the world's way, not our way. Damning behaviors. We have the power to change our behaviors from unrighteousness to righteousness. We have the power. It's not ours, it's His. Christ in us. We can overcome damning behaviors. The world is full of broken perspectives. We can get a new perspective. You see what I'm saying? This is called victory. A new perspective by looking through God's eyes. God's looking in God's purposes. What's the problem? We just don't. We fail to do that at times. Then we fail to do that where we start to lose the battle, don't we? Get God's perspective. We have the power to do that. Christ in us. How about immoral involvements? Come on. Immoral involvements. God has a lot to say about morals and ethics. If you don't know what they are, read your Bible. Listen carefully. There are things that God abhors. They're detestable things in His eyes. We have the power to not participate in those things. To do life from impurity. You say, I just can't help myself. No, you're right. You can't help yourself. It's got to be Christ in you. It's got to be the power of the Holy Spirit transforming us into a new creation. And we can and should and must win that victory. How about warped thinking? Taking advantage of others. Hatefulness, idolatry, false teachings, deceptions, lack of justice, disregard for God's direction. Remember, that's that list I gave you earlier about what the world is. Do we have to abide by that? No. Can I do it by myself? No. But the indwelling Christ in me is the victory. Don't you think it's time we stopped living in defeat? Because that's not God's will. It is not His will. It's not what He's asking us to do by abiding in Him. It says that the child of God, that's the one who's all in. The child of God is all in to be in God's. Ours is the victory. That's why the Bible says this, and we better do it. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Whether you feel like it or not, fix your eyes on Jesus. And then the Word of God says, set your heart on things above. You know what? If you look at evil long enough, you'll start to adapt to its ways. So quit looking at the world, all that stuff I just described. Quit looking at that. Start setting our hearts and our eyes on things above. Ours is the victory. And if you're living in defeat today, which is the enemy's plan, okay? Not God's plan. The enemy's plan is for us to live in defeat. I want to tell you something this morning. You don't have to. If I don't preach victory to you, then I preach a weak God. But we don't serve a weak God. We serve a strong God. So let's live in victory. That doesn't make us better than other people. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need this message, every one of us. It doesn't make us better than anybody else. It just makes us who God wants us to be. Yes. Yes. Amen. So, let's take care of business this morning. God, you always call us to response. And if God has put on your heart to respond, I'm going to ask you to make it a public thing. And you're thinking to yourselves, well, it's nobody else's business. No, it's not. But I tell you, what we declare publicly, we will do privately. We make our stand. We make our stand. We declare our intentions. And then the family of God steps up to the plate to be what it needs to be for you. If you're struggling this morning with more defeat than victory, let's take care of that this morning. You just come. Come to this altar of prayer and make your public confession that you choose the way of Christ. You choose the way of Christ. And you're going to step up your faith. You're going to step up your intentions to know Christ within and be victorious. Whatever it happens to be. We're not going to ask you what it is. I just want you to make a public statement. I choose victory this day. Would you come? I choose victory in Christ this day. The enemy is not going to defeat me. The enemy is not going to have his way. And I'm not going to listen to his lies anymore. I'm going to acknowledge Christ in every way in my life. I'm going to invite him in to fill every gap. I'm going to just let him be the Lord of my life, to saturate my heart and my mind with godly things. We need these public declarations in order that we privately commit to them. We need each other. We need each other. Lord, have your way. Help us to lay hold of this promise that we, as children of God, will overcome the world. Will overcome the world. Have overcome the world. We declare it right now. Help us to conform to the image of your Son. That is your greatest purpose in us, that we conform to the image of your Son. Without that, we wander in defeat. We choose not to wander anymore. Thank you, Lord.